Well, there's this song by Matt Redman called It's All About You, Jesus. And it is a perfect song to think about for the introduction to today's topic of sharing the gospel. Matt was a worship leader in a very prominent church and was very well known. And after a lot of time in ministry, he apparently had gotten a little full of himself. And his senior pastor pulled him aside and said, "Hey, buddy, you got to take 6 months off and just think about why you're doing this." And when he came back, he wrote that song as sort of his song of repentance, that it's not about us, it's all about you, Lord. And when it comes to sharing our faith, that's something important for us to keep in mind, because being a Christian and being saved is not all about us. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about bringing other people into the kingdom. And so that's why we're going to talk today about sharing the gospel. You know, when God blesses us with something, He always does so with the intention of us using it to then bless others with what He has blessed us with. And that principle goes all the way back to Genesis 12:2 in the Abrahamic covenant, when He calls Abraham and He tells Abraham that, "I'm going to bless you so that you shall be a blessing." Now, principally, that blessing was that through the line of Abraham, He brought our Messiah to us. But that same principle of being blessed to be a blessing runs all through Scripture. In the New Testament, in John 7:38 and 39, when Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit, He says, "And we receive the Holy Spirit that rivers of living water will flow through us, not that they will be dammed up or welled up inside of us, that they flow out of us, which can then bless others." And you know, the church is unique amongst all the institutions and organizations of the world in that it does not exist primarily for the sake of those who are already in it. Rather, it exists primarily for the sake of those who aren't in it yet. And so that's, again, why we want to look at this topic of sharing the gospel. You know, when Jesus called His very first disciples in Matthew 4:19, He had a very simple invitation to them. He simply said, "Come, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so as we follow Jesus, as we learn how to walk where He walks, go where He goes, act like He acts, think like He thinks, we begin to be turned into fishers of men by Him. And that's part of His purpose in saving us, is that we would bring others into the kingdom. Now, outside of the Lord, there's probably no greater evangelist in church history than the Apostle Paul. And so what we're going to do next is look at a few things Paul taught about sharing our faith, because they're so practical and so wise, and we can still learn from them 2,000 years later. One of them is in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And in that verse, Paul says this, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Now notice there how Paul starts with prayer, asking for prayer that he would be able to open his mouth boldly. How practical is that? If the Apostle Paul had to ask for boldness in witnessing, the man who wrote about a third of the New Testament, the man who evangelized half the known world, still had to ask for prayer to do that. How much more so we as Christians today? Now, Paul gave us a lot more details of the things we should pray for in Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and that's going to be our main focus for this little talk. You'll see that Paul starts it there again in verse 2. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." But notice how in both those passages, Paul starts with prayer. You see, prayer is where all of this starts. Prayer is absolutely necessary to give us that heart of compassion for the lost, to give us that sense of urgency to go reach them, and to open the hearts of unbelievers. You know, speaking of urgency, a few months ago, I was driving to my favorite running place here, which is starts at the Rat Beach parking lot, and I was driving past the PV Country Club, a road I've driven on hundreds of times, and I know there's lots of peacocks out there, so I'm always careful to not hit them, and I was at a stop sign. As I started to go forward, this bicyclist coming up the hill flagged me down, was waving at me, told me to roll my window down, and he's yelling at me. He goes, there's peacocks around the corner, peacocks around the corner, don't hit them. And you know, at first I was kind of a little perturbed. What is it with this guy telling me this? I know there's peacocks here. But I asked the Lord, what are you trying to teach me, God? And God put on my heart this incredible sense of, wow, this man who probably doesn't know the Lord is so passionate about the sense of urgency of me not hitting these peacocks. How much more so should I be about sharing the gospel with people so that they don't go into eternal judgment? And so it's with that kind of heart that we begin to pray to share the gospel with others. Now, let's look at some of the other practical things that Paul prays for in here. He says to pray for that God would open a door of opportunity, what we might call divine appointments. And I got to tell you, if you start doing that, in fact, I guarantee you, if you pray 3 or 4 days straight in a row, that God would open doors of opportunity for you to share the gospel, that he would give you those divine appointments, you better be ready. Watch out, because he will certainly do so. And I know many people here that I've shared that with have said the same thing. But notice that we're praying for God to open the door. We don't force the door open. We can't do that. We need to look for God to open the door and be sensitive to the movement of the Spirit to go where those open doors are. In fact, if the doors don't open, he's not calling us to stand there and try to bang the door down. When Jesus taught his disciples on evangelism and sent them out 2 by 2 to the villages, he told them that if a house or a village would not receive him, that they were to shake the dust off their feet and go somewhere else. Why? Because God's already prepared a harvest. There's ripe fruit everywhere for us to harvest. And God's telling us, go after the ripe fruit, the low-hanging fruit, the fruit that's ready to harvest. Don't try to bang the door down where someone is not necessarily interested. And then he says to pray for him to be able to declare the mystery of Christ. You see, so often God opens those doors of opportunity for us and we waste them on some peripheral Christian issue or maybe some moral issue or a political issue. No, we're not to do that. When he opens the door, get to what salvation's all about, which is about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't get sidetracked on non-salvation issues. And you know, sometimes people that we're sharing our faith with will try to sidetrack us. The woman at the well did that with Jesus. She tried to get him into a political argument about Samaritans and Jews, a religious argument about where you're supposed to worship, but Jesus just kept it simply focused on who he is, the Messiah, the one who could give her living water and her need for him. The next thing Paul asks for prayer for here is for clarity, that he would use words that people could understand. And you know, that's so important too, particularly when we've been believers for a number of years. We know all these big theological words, but remember what it was like when you were an unbeliever. You didn't know what justification meant or sanctification meant or atonement or propitiation. So use words people can understand and speak in terms they can understand. Never compromise the message of the gospel, but be willing to change how you present it so that people can understand it. And then Paul says to be wise, to use wisdom here, and to make the most of the opportunity. And what a great reminder that is. I mean, don't blow the opportunity. Sometimes that little snippet of time when you get to share something with someone about the Lord goes by so quickly. But he says to use wisdom also, and later he says that you might know how to speak to each person. And that's because each person is different. Everyone's wired a little bit differently. And what might work with one person may not work with another. Try to figure out where they're at. Use words or illustrations that might reach them. And then he says, let our speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. What a beautiful reminder that is also of who we are to be as people. We're taking a gospel of grace to people who so desperately need it. So we need to be gracious. We don't want to be obnoxious. We don't want to try to beat people over the head with the Bible. We want to be compassionate. We need to see people as Jesus sees them. Matthew 9:36, which is the passage Daniel's going to talk about in a few minutes, starts with us being told that Jesus looked out over the crowds and he saw them with compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's how we need to see the unbelievers around us as people who are disconnected from the shepherd who created them in his image to be in a relationship with him And that's why they're harassed. That's why they're helpless. That's why they do the things they do. They don't know any better. And so we need to have compassion on them. You could probably sum all that up, the compassionate and the graciousness, by thinking of yourself as an ambassador for Christ. That's what Paul said at the end of that Ephesians 6 passage we read first, that he was an ambassador in chains. Even while he was in prison, he saw himself as an ambassador for Christ. And how much more so for those of us who are not in prison or out in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. And you know, the thing about an ambassador is, countries always pick gracious people to be ambassadors. They don't pick obnoxious, jerky people to be ambassadors. And ambassadors are known for being gracious to those around them. And basically, an ambassador is someone from one country who takes up residence in a foreign country, and he or she is there to represent their king, their president, their prime minister in the best possible light and to advance the agenda of their king, their president, their prime minister. And isn't that what we are? The Bible says we're citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of this world. And so here we are in a foreign place, this world, as citizens of heaven with an agenda to represent our King, Jesus, in the best possible light and to seek to advance his agenda. And then Paul says that our speech should be seasoned with salt. That's such a fascinating verse because this is one of the few places in the New Testament where salt is used the way we think of it in our culture. Most times when salt is used, like being the salt and light of the earth, for instance, it's used with the sense of being a preservative in mind, which is how it was often used back in that culture, something that would retard putrefaction and keep things from rotting. But here Paul's using it, like we use it in the 21st century, as he says, think of your speech like seasoning. Well, let's think about that for a minute. If you put salt on a steak, if you put a little bit of salt on it, it's going to make it taste really good and bring out all the flavors and make you want to eat more and take another bite than another bite. But if you dump the whole salt shaker on that piece of steak, you'd spit it out after the first bite. And so we need to remember the same thing when we're sharing the gospel with people. You don't have to dunk all of theology on them at one time. They just need to know the simple gospel, that they are sinners in need of salvation, and that Jesus came to be their Lord and Savior, and that he died on a cross and was resurrected to pay for their sin and to give them eternal life. And then, one other thing I would say here, where Paul says at the end, where he says to know how to answer each person, that's kind of back to this, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing, all people are different, and learn to follow the leading of the Spirit. But I would also add this, don't be afraid to try something new or different in sharing the gospel with someone, something you may not have thought of before. You know, Jesus likened sharing the gospel to being fishers of men. That's what he told his disciples. He told Peter, I'm going to turn you from a fisher of fish into a fisher of men. And one time I was fishing with a buddy on Lake Powell that we used to go houseboating with. And every morning where our houseboat was parked, we would see these guys come in on one of those professional bass fishing boats, those flat bottom things with the quiet little electric motors. And they had those high seats that they would sit on. You know, you've probably seen those kind of boats if you've been to a Bass Pro Shop or a place like that. And they would sit on their seats and ever so quietly cast ever so quietly the perfect flies and reel them in morning after morning at the right time to fish, about 6 a.m. And we watched them for a whole week. These guys caught nothing. And then one day, my buddy and I thought, well, we could try this, but we don't have the equipment. But hey, let's try it anyways. So we got the equipment we had, which was his two jet skis, not a great thing to go bass fishing on. And we started fishing about 9 a.m. when the sun was already out. We didn't have any flies or fly rods. We had some spinning reels and some lures. And so we sat backwards on the jet ski and steered it with one hand in idle and started casting our rods with our lures in the other direction. And I got to tell you, it was like a sport fishing movie. Bass were hitting all over the place, jumping out of the water. And so think of that when you go to share the gospel with somebody. There's no one-size-fits-all thing. Don't be afraid to try something new, something different, because there's lots of different ways that we can catch fish. Amen?